one point I was just chatting about with Ajahn was that it's so important to ask questions and clarify one's ideas, because otherwise one can listen for a long time and think that the points are clear and read a lot, come to the foundation a lot, but miss the main point. And it's only when questioning that one's ideas are really clarified. So this is a very important point. Perhaps Ajahn would like to just add a little bit more about it, about the benefit of questioning. This is really to encourage Carmen and to show how it's the Buddha's way to question and to clarify one's idea.
To be truthful to the truth. So there must be the understanding what is a truth now. Not only one. Seeing is real, it's true, it has its own characteristic. To be known as seeing. And if we hear that seeing is a reality, but I see is there. I hear about seeing, that it's a reality right now, arising and see, that's all. But that's not enough, because that's already new idea, new thought, thinking about that which is now seeing. But Buddha thought about how to understand better, not just thinking that it's real. Now, it's thinking that it's real, but how real it is. It's there. Why it's seeing? Because it sees. Very simple, but not anyone at all. Only a conditioned reality arises, uncontrollable, cannot be changed, it's there already, and it sees already, and then it's gone. No matter what is there, cannot be taken for anything permanent at all. Keep on understanding this, that what appears is not as it is. At all. That's why in Tipitaka it says that what appears does not appear well, because it does not appear as now it is seeing, no one there, nothing around in truth to experience that. Directly means now. We're talking about seeing, but it's not directly understanding seeing yet. And even there is the awareness of seeing at this moment, what about the understanding of it as not self? Because the memory is there, arising with whatever citta is there, experiencing the same object, but it is wrong memory, as now Kunsara read a wrong memory of this, which is seen, different colors, cannot be taken for anyone at all. Is it true? This is just a point to have more confidence of the truth, not to go wrong. Is it now letting go a little bit of taking what is there as something, or the time from birth until death, when there is no understanding? And when there is a little more understanding, just a little more. But what about feeling and like or dislike, attachment and ignorance or other unknown, until it's time ready to see the benefit of living, to understand what is there is the best thing in life? Because everything seems there, belonging to me, but in truth, nothing is there, belong to anyone at all. It's only a momentary reality arising to like or dislike, to see, to hear, that's all. So death is just the new moment, next moment after death, that's all. As seeing is a moment, and the citta after it, next moment of after seeing. So new life after death. Seeing again, hearing again, take it for someone again, and then not anyone at all, from life to life. Can that be known? Can that be understood? Can that be directly aware and understand the truth of it? This is the words of the Buddha. He said, all realities are so very subtle, very difficult to understand, but it can be known. From hearing, considering the words of truth of each reality right now, and understanding understands. Can there be understanding of what is there now without hearing the truth about it? So what is meant by patipatti? See, in Pali, not in English or not in Thai. Because when there is no understanding, we read Tipitaka and we hear the word and interpret it as we can do or we can take it. But the truth is much more different from what is there as we know or think about it. For now, who knows that seeing is not there anymore? So beginning to understand each word as nimitta, see, no doubt about nimitta now. No one, only nimitta of seeing, nimitta of hearing, and nimitta of shape and form, and nimitta of panyati, make it known as something all the time. So what is understanding? We can use the word what is for everything. To really understand it, nature, the truth of it.
And just before you, in case you fall asleep, you just at the end of the discussion this morning, you were just asking about the layers and layers of nimitta. So you may like, you may like to just bring up your question to Ajahn, because I think what she was just talking about yes. How, what doesn't appear well and how the understanding of little the idea of self, it's like peeling at back the at the skins of the onion or letting off those layers and layers of nimitta. But please ask Ajahn directly.
Yes. Ajahn, I found that interesting and well, I found that useful hearing talking about the various layers of nimitta and I you know, as Sarah mentioned in something she wrote, also, I was thinking about the layers of ignorance, pulling, you know, we say peeling back the layers of nimitta to let go of the ignorance. Anyway, I was hoping you could talk about that a little bit, please.
Okay. Now, how many layers of the nimitta of seeing? A moment at a time. And there are many cittas in between.
Yes.
Two moments of seeing.
Uncountable.
Uncountable layers.
Yes.
Of ignorance, attachment, and yes. Understanding. Yeah. Asava.
Yes, yes,
all
yes.
Four, as
yes, about yeah.
Of seeing. Mm-hmm. This is layers of ignorance about seeing. And what about after seeing, thinking? How many layers yes. of thinking, taking that, which is nimitta of a reality, and after that, nimitta of a thing, and then nimitta of the whole story?
Yes.
How many layers?
Uncountable.
In life.
Yes.
So yes. Begin,
so, you go ahead, please.
So begin to understand the truth, how much ignorance is there, because mm-hmm. how many moments of seeing and other realities are there from moment to moment, adding up layers and layers of ignorance and akusala.
Yes, I mean, mountains of it.
That is the understanding of the virtues of the Buddha, the greatest understanding, mm-hmm. wisdom mm-hmm. of the truth of what is there now. So would anyone like to have no layers of of ignorance at all, and attachment, and all other unwholesome realities?
Well, one would like to, but you can't get anywhere by liking to. You
need adding more layers.
Understanding. Pardon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like to...
Adding more layers.
Yes, adding more layers.
Cleaning okay, more, yeah. More layers.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the attachment and wanting it goes the wrong direction. There needs to be much, much more understanding. For sure. When we, there's constantly moments of, split seconds of jitta and other seeing and other jitta, and then the kusala or akusala jittas, and then avanga jitta, and then move on to the thinking where the first stage, I guess, of the nimitta is the mind process following the sense process in which they're seeing. It is a nimitta of the seeing, an image of the seeing. And then as that goes on, as I understand it, there are more and more, the nimittas build up to the point where there is shape and form. We think we see shape and form, and then from that, concepts are developed. And it's happening so quickly all the time, with various other hearing, touching, thinking interspersed between them. So it's, when you say we live in a world of nimitta, it's, yeah, I guess that's the building of these layers of nimitta, so that what has to happen is the understanding, I gather, needs to develop through the stages pariyati, patipati, and then pativeda for a reality to be directly understood as a reality. So I'm not sure exactly where I'm going with this, other than most of life is nimitta.
When they understand the truth, the other reality cannot understand the truth at all.
Right.
At moment of understanding, it's not anyone. Only our reality arises and can understand what is there as it is, little by little.
Mm-hmm. Right. Very subtle and such a long
difference
process.
The difference between the worldling and the enlightened being is the level of understanding.
Yes.
Not so much the fact that it's a world of nimittas, because that's an integral part of our life in samsara.
I was going to say that's always the world of nimitta.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's the understanding.
It's the way it's understood or not understood that makes the difference.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Oh, one more thing. John, you mentioned just a few minutes ago the nimitta of panyati. So,
for panyati,
mm-hmm. Go ahead. The example would be helpful.
If there's no reality at all, there cannot be nimitta for sure, right?
Yes.
And only one single reality cannot make known as anything.
Right.
So, since all kinds of realities arise and fall away in split seconds, what appears is the nimitta of a reality for now, nimitta of seeing. Mm-hmm. No one knows that seeing now is the nimitta of seeing, because just one single seeing cannot be known. Mm-hmm. And as soon as one opens one's eyes, what are there? Many things. Can it be experienced that it's there without a reality which is seen only one impinge on the eyeballs?
No.
And can that be something or just that which impinged on the eyeballs unknowingly now?
Oh, it would have to be just
so many moments of seeing, right? Conditioned that nimitta of seeing. And after that, many, many realities after seeing and on and on and on and seeing again, conditioned nimitta of a thing.
Yes.
And it makes known as what is there now. And when it makes known as what is there, it is panyati. So there are two kinds of panyati. The atta panyati. Even we don't use any word, as soon as there is something appearing, it's this and that, known as something by nimitta. So there are two kinds of nimitta, of panyati. The atta panyati, even there's no sound, no voice, no sound at all, it makes known as something as soon as nimitta is there. And after that, the sound makes it known by different volume of sound.
Like, I'm sorry.
Thai language, we use the word Dhamma, see. And for seeing, the Thai do not use the word seeing, different word. And that is Satta, sound, nimitta.
Okay. So the atta panyati is the
without word.
Without words. Something.
Yes, right now.
And then the satta panyati is putting words to it.
Hearing the word, the sound, and know what does it mean.
Okay.
For example, jakku, see this word.
Yeah.
Those who know Bali can know what the meaning of it is.
I see. Okay, that's interesting. Or and
just kun an, see?
Yeah.
At satta bandat.
Yes. Satta. Okay. So I guess what I was surprised was that there is nimitta of panyati. I guess I had not understood correctly, but I had thought that there could only be a nimitta of realities.
Without the sign or mark, can there be any panyati?
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's the initial
Paramada Dhamma, absolute truth, can there be any nimitta? Without the just reality, seeing, can there be nimitta?
No.
So there must be reality, and the arising and falling wing is so very rapidly, it makes some shape and form to be known as nimitta, and by experience nimitta, that is the idea, taking it for something.
Yes.
And that is atta panyati, no word. And then when it's sound, a voice, one can know what does the meaning of it. That is satta.
Satta panyati.
Satta panyati.
So when we talk about nimitta of panyati, it means we're going back to the original seeing or hearing before the story starts.
So now, nimitta of seeing, for sure.
Yes.
Nimitta of thinking, hearing, everything appears as nimitta.
Yes.
The five khandhas, when it arises, it can be known by nimitta.
Yes.
Only one single reality.
Right.
Talking about the layers and layers of nimitta, it's referring not just to the nimitta of reality, but the nimitta of the sign, the shape, the thing that is there, the sound, the meaning, the idea of something. So that's why the layers and layers are actually layers and layers of ignorance, taking it further and further away from the understanding of reality to the idea of something, someone there. And that's why the development of understanding is a very gradual letting go of the idea of self, getting closer and closer to the nimitta of reality itself.
I find myself wondering, it's maybe foolish, but sort of the story is built up through the various nimittas, the sign or the image, and moving on to the shape and form, and the something, and then the panyati, the atta, and the sata. So when, and I find myself probably applying too much logic to it, but the letting go, I guess you can't, the process isn't reversed, so to say, step by step. It's just as understanding grows, there is more understanding of how, I don't know, I can't finish that sentence. Can you?
Because when panya arises and dispels ignorance at that very moment, it lets go at that moment for an instant, a little bit of ignorance by understanding what appears at that moment. So that's why it's just a little more letting go of ignorance, little by little, as panya develops.
Right. And that
is the path leading to have more understanding, to directly experience the truth, which now doesn't appear. Because of layers and layers of ignorance.
Yes. I see now the letting go little by little, as there's more understanding. So there's no particular order to it. It just happens as there's more understanding of now.
And after the enlightenment, the Buddha said, all dhammas are very subtle.
Yes.
Be truthful to the truth of the subtlety of all dhammas now.
More subtle than we can possibly imagine.
Yes.
Hi, Tam. I did not quite understand atta panyati without words.
Okay, who's there with our word?
We knew it.
And who's there? Nimitta?
I didn't get it quite. I find it difficult.
What is seen?
Physical.
Not samskara at all. Only that which can impinge on the ideas. See, we cannot see what is there at the back. It doesn't impinge on the ideas.
Yes.
That's why what impinge on the ideas is not kunsara. So very tiny, as the ideas is so very tiny. Just one point or dot on the paper.
Yes.
Before there can be more to be known as something. Begin to understand the rapidity of the arising and falling away of each moment of seeing and other jittas. Before there can be nimitta of something, there must be nimitta of a reality. For example, right now, there are many moments of seeing. So what seeing appears now is the nimitta of seeing.
Yes.
No matter at what time, panya begins or starts to understand the truth of a characteristic, but as nimitta. not just only one single object. Even in one process, only one moment of seeing, and there are many jittas follows instantly, and pavanga, many pavangas, moments of pavanga, and then mind are processed before they can be seeing again, just one moment. So now, how many moments of seeing? Unknown. In between hearing and thinking, the layers and layers of ignorance. And without the succession of the reality arising and falling away, can there be any nimitta of anything? As there is nimitta of seeing right now. Beginning to understand the darkness of ignorance covered up.
But how is it atta panyati?
Okay. Even I don't use the word seeing. Is there seeing right now?
Yes.
That is atta, no word. But is there a seeing? And when I do not use the term hearing, is there the nimitta of hearing?
There must be.
So there must be nimitta of all kinds of realities. Nimitta of rupa, nimitta of feeling, nimitta of sanya, nimitta of sankhara, dhamma, nimitta of vijnana khana. All dhammas rising and falling away so rapidly. What is left to be known as only nimitta of everything. Nimitta of seeing before there can be nimitta of something. Like I, Akun Jonathan, Akun Sarah, Akun Vincent. Nimitta of you. We take it for you because of the nimitta. And Sanya marks this nimitta as Kunina.
Yes.
And the cupboard. And the bottom, and the curtain, everything, nimitta of everything. So one lives in the world of nimitta from birth to death. The truth is covered up. If Buddha didn't enlighten the truth, who knows? The truth of seeing right now, it's not only one moment of seeing, because it's gone. And the outer citta follows instantly many, many moments before there can be a moment of seeing, which is not the same one which has gone. Just learn to understand the truth, that's all. Even right understanding is our reality by conditions. Without hearing, wise considering, there cannot be the understanding of that word nimitta. There must be the absolute truth, but it does not appear as it is. It appears as nimitta of whatever it is, seeing, hearing, thinking, liking, disliking.
Yes.
The world of nimitta from life to life, the dream world, fantasy world. Many people are here now. In truth, no one at all. Without the absolute reality, can there be what we take for people and things now? Impossible. That's why each word should be studied carefully until there is more and more confidence of the truth that actually there is no one. All sankhara dhamma, anicchang, dukkhang, anatta. Just to enroot the understanding of the truth so that it can grow at moment of hearing again and again and again of our reality. That which experiences an object and that which cannot experience anything, the world of Dhamma. If there's only Rupa Dhamma, nothing appears at all. But when there is a reality conditioned to arise to see, it sees. no one can stop the moment of seeing because there are conditions to condition is arising, so it arises. As, and it's known as nimitta, not only one single moment of seeing.
So if one has doubts through which glory nimitta is experienced, it cannot be answered really, since there are so many aspects to it.
Okay, just one reality at a time. What is now appearing?
It's now appearing. Seeing.
Okay, one moment of seeing or many moments of seeing. Why do we say many moments? Because the arising and falling away of a seeing cannot be known. It's succeeded by the other jittas by way of different processes before the moment of seeing arise again, but not as the same one. Never return. Never to arise again. Only once in samsara, not just only one in this life. Only one in samsara. Otherwise, there cannot be letting go, clinging to what is there, because not experiencing the anicca, the impermanence of that which now arises and falls away now. So very subtle. But from hearing, considering, it cannot be the same as that just a moment ago. Never be the same one by conditions. Just learn to understand the truth and have more confidence of the truth so that the truth can, the understanding of the truth can develop little by little to know that only what is there now can be known. The past is gone, the future hasn't come yet, so how can it be known? But now, only now, no matter what, hardness, sound, smell, whatever is there, can be known as it's not anything. It's only a reality. It has its own characteristic, different from the others, from moment to moment, non-stop. As long as there are conditions for whatever arises, it has to arise, like now, this moment. Without conditions, can there be seeing right now? Without the ear sense, ear base, can there be hearing right now? Can anything appear without that which experiences it? The truth cannot be changed at all. So, layers of ignorance and right understanding is moment of just open it up, the truth, little by little, so very little. That's why it needs the parami, patience, confidence, truth, satya parami, viriya parami, kanti parami, adhidhana parami, nekama parami, to let go ignorance and wrong understanding. Is there kunina to work it out? Or is right understanding from hearing and considering? Depending on conditions, how much understanding can be there? Not at level of directly experience the truth yet, but no one can change that the truth can be known when it's there, right now, of what is there now.
So to come back to the doorway, which doorway?
Now. Now is so true, which doorway? Seeing, hearing, thinking?
My door.
An eye door, an ear door.
So many doorways, the path.
Yeah, but when we're talking about the nimitta, the nimitta has to appear through the mind door, because it's the visible object itself which is seen through the eye door. But when it's the nimitta of visible object which appears and is known, it has to be through the mind door, because the visible object has fallen away, no more eye door. So it has to be the mind door.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And all those layers and layers, the nimitta of the shape, the form, something, the story, all through the mind door. On account of the reality, the visible object which was experienced through the eye door.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
And if there's no understanding of the truth of this moment, who knows who's the Buddha? Just use the word, respect the word, without any understanding of the virtues of the great wisdom at all. So in order to see or to understand who's the Buddha, from hearing, considering, and understanding the truth only.
Ajahn, I think Carmen has a question she'd like to bring up about Vipaka, and I think it's related to karma and how karma travels, so to speak.
Yes. When I was going through the cittas, I realized that there is Vipaka, and there is, getting nervous again, there is the wholesome rootless Vipaka, unwholesome rootless Vipaka, and we have a wholesome Vipaka with roots. But we do not have unwholesome Vipaka with roots. And I was wondering, because if I do, you have to rebirth consciousness, but actually my question is more about day-to-day cause and effect. And if I'm doing really bad things, let's say, then it, yeah, then how travels the karma or the...
So, do you understand what Vipaka is? See, so we talk about Vipaka. So, what is Vipaka? See, to be truthful to the truth, to have confidence of the very subtle truth. Vipaka is not just a word. What is it in order to understand it as this is Vipaka and that is not Vipaka? So now, if one says seeing is Vipaka, does one really understand seeing now as it is? So it's just the idea that seeing is Vipaka. But Buddha taught the way to really understand the truth of Vipaka. So what is the truth of Vipaka? It has to be intellectual, keen understanding.
Please help me.
We talk about the reality which experiences the object, an object. Citta is the chief of experiencing the characteristic clearly. It's not right understanding at all. It's not other citta, but it is that which experiences the object so clear, no word. Because it's there, the difference between these things by citta experiences the characteristic. But what is karma and what is vipaka? If we don't know the difference, how can there be the understanding of seeing what is the result, see, the vipaka? When it's time for karma to condition or produce a reality which experiences the unwholesome reality, it has to arise and experience that. Everyone would like to experience very pleasant objects. But sometime, or most of the time, who knows, if there's no understanding enough, whether that moment is the wholesome moment or the vipaka or so many, many things we used to talk about it. But the truth is that even right now, there is that which is not vipaka and that which is vipaka. And we don't just talk about in word because it cannot understand the truth of it, but it can consider the truth from the very beginning. What is there? That's why there cannot be the understanding to let go of wrong understanding without understanding what is there. As that which experiences an object, no one. And that which cannot experience at all. Can that which not experience an object be vipaka? See? Why the rupa are different. This one and that one. Masculinity, femininity, and so on. By conditions, is it vipaka or not vipaka? Just the result of karma, see? So the first vipassanayana is nama, rupa, parichetanayana, directly experiencing, so clear, the distinction between nama and rupa. Otherwise, how can we know that this nama is vipaka or that nama is vipaka? The characteristic of nama has to be directly experienced. At that moment, no doubt about the reality which experiences no shape, no form, no sound, no smell, nothing, nothing. What is meant by nothing? Nothing is nothing. Is there now nothingness? Not at all. That's why reality does not appear as clear as it is. Because of nimitta, many layers of nimitta. So the understanding of nama is not clear. And the understanding of rupa is not clear. Either it doesn't mean that only concentrate on this and that will appear clearly. It appears clearly only to right understanding. Without right understanding like now, it does not appear clear at all. Impossible. Even we talk about seeing, it's not moment of understanding the characteristic of that which just arise. Nothing there, only that characteristic experiencing an object. Before there can be the understanding of what is vipaka and what is not vipaka. For example, even right now, there can be a little understanding of the difference between seeing and thinking. What is vipaka? The difference between seeing and thinking? Thinking is the reality which experiences an object, and seeing is a reality which experiences an object, but different by characteristic. So, at this moment, there is seeing and there is thinking. Which is vipaka?
Seeing is vipaka.
But not directly experienced yet. So, it's just the word. Not understanding the truth. But the teaching of the Buddha is not just to understand the word. All words represent realities, different words, different reality. So even vipaka in life, what are vipaka?
Daily life?
Yes.
Hearing, smelling, tasting, seeing.
But no understanding of the nature of it. It does not appear clear to ignorance. But to panya, right understanding, it begins to consider the characteristic which experiences. The sound cannot experience anything, so it appears as sound. But when the reality which arises and experience is there, known, no shape, no form, no rupa at all, only that which experiences. So there can be the understanding of the difference between the nama and the rupa in the beginning, and later on, no one can have seeing at will at all. No one can make it arise, because even right now, we're talking and they're seeing all the time. What condition seeing? So in life, we talk about vipaka, not the word, but the truth of each moment in life. What is vipaka and what is not? See, not in the book, but now. So reality now can be known little by little from hearing and considering, until it can be moment of directly understanding the truth little by little before it appears as no one there at all. Just only one reality at a time.
When you were asked what is vipaka, did you add thinking at the end? Is thinking now vipaka?
At this moment? I thought it was.
So what is thinking? What do you mean by
yes,
thinking?
It's a really difficult question.
I have asked myself that too. But what really is thinking? What is it?
Because if we talk generally and we just say they're seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching and thinking, then by thinking, usually we're referring to the chittas in the mind door process which follow the sense door processes. So the seeing is vipaka, the result of karma, and the next two chittas that follow it, which are unknown, are vipaka. And then the following chitta is a kriya chitta, and then kusala or akusala chittas. And then in the mind or process, the first chitta is a kriya chitta, and then the kusala or akusala chittas that we call thinking, like thinking with attachment, thinking with understanding, thinking with doubt. These are not vipaka chittas. They're kusala or akusala chittas in the mind door. But if we want to be even more precise about what is thinking, we can also refer to the chetasika of vitaka. And then this chetasika doesn't arise with seeing and hearing, but it does arise with the following vipaka chittas. So actually this chetasika can be kusala, akusala, vipaka, or kriya. But when we're just talking generally, oh, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, thinking, the seeing and so on are vipaka, but the thinking is not vipaka, because it's the kusala or akusala chittas in the mind or process.
But the mind door process there, that is the vipaka thinking, but it's not
vipaka, because okay. That thinking is kusala, moments of kusala or akusala, like now, thinking with doubt, thinking with ignorance, thinking with a little understanding, thinking with attachment. It's not the chittas which are the result of karma. It's the accumulated tendency which condition more and more thinking of doubt, thinking with understanding. So we have to distinguish between what is result of karma with no accumulation. It's like the seeing is the result. It doesn't like, it doesn't dislike, it doesn't accumulate anything. But the thinking of like, thinking of dislike, it accumulates those habits, those tendencies. And when it's strong enough, if there's so much thinking about the item one likes in a shop, if it's strong enough, it can condition even the taking of that object that can bring results in future. So it's, this is the way to understand that it's quite different from the moments of vipaka, which are just the results. So everyone's concerned about, for example, the painful bodily feeling or the akusala vipaka, but it's just moments of seeing and hearing and touching tangible objects. And the real problems, like the thinking with clinging, the thinking of dosa, and the thinking with ignorance, this is where the accumulated habits build up, leading to all kinds of karma that can bring results. Hi, Chanti.
Yes, maybe it's good to remind Carmen that there's a difference between the jatis that can be vipaka, kusala, akusala, or kriya chittas, but vipaka can also be kusala or akusala. And that's maybe where she gets confused.
But what is meant when we say vipaka is kusala or akusala? For example, seeing now, if it's referred to as kusala or akusala vipaka, can vipaka be kusala or akusala?
Not as a jati, but if, for example, patisandhi is vipaka, and as a human, it's kusala vipaka, to be born as a human.
And what is meant when we say it is kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka?
That the chittas don't have the roots, the akusala roots.
And can the vipaka itself actually be kusala?
Well, no, I'm talking about the chitta, not the vipaka. But it's
the vipaka is
jati is still vipaka, the jati. Yeah.
The chitta is vipaka, and that which is vipaka, is it actually kusala or akusala? Or by referring to it as kusala or akusala vipaka, does it just mean it's the result of kusala or akusala karma in the past?
Exactly. Yes, but that's maybe very good to distinguish again, because we forget. And also we forget that vipaka can only be 10 chittas and not the thinking chitta. So for me, sometimes I forget what you just say. And it's good again to distinguish between the jatis and what you say that, because we talk so much about kusala, chittasikas, etc. I just wanted to elaborate on that difference, yes.
So more than 10, like the seeing now, we can say it's kusala or akusala vipaka, but actually completely unknown. But all it really means is it's the result of kusala or akusala karma. That's why it's referred to as kusala or akusala chitta, kusala akusala vipaka. It just means it's a result of kusala or akusala. The seeing itself is not kusala or akusala, but it experiences a desirable or undesirable object depending on whether it's the result of kusala or akusala karma. So it's just like a shorthand for referring to what that chitta is the result of. And then the following two chittas also vipaka, more than 10. And then
yes, of course, yes.
Yeah. Thanks, Jen. Yes. So about or point about how does karma travel? Or
yes.
Can you explain what the point
is? Can you explain? Oh, well. Yeah. Now, in relation to my first question, how does unwholesome deeds come to new realities?
You mean bring result in the present? How do past deeds bring result in the present?
Is this about vipaka? See, we just talk about vipaka. And what about being born or experience an object in daily life?
Whether, the daily life part.
okay, this is moment of daily life. Is there any vipaka?
Yeah, and not so good. Yeah.
What is the vipaka right now?
I was hearing.
Okay, what else? Hearing.
Seeing.
Seeing.
Tasting at the moment. Yeah. Feeling, of course. But that's not a vipaka, but it is there.
It's not a word. But in a day, what vipaka is there to be known and called, can be known. Hearing now. Seeing now. And then? Seeing, hearing. What are vipakas?
Smelling, tasting.
Smelling, tasting. Okay. How many dollars?
Five.
Okay. So in the day, vipaka can be known now. The seeing. Nobody can stop its arising. It's time for condition to experience, to see pleasant or unpleasant object. Right? No choice. That is vipaka only in a moment which can be known. There are other vipaka, but the other vipaka does not appear in a day. The citta after seeing is vipaka, after hearing is vipaka, but it does not appear. What appears is only the nimitta of seeing. And what is meant by nimitta? Other citta are there after seeing, but they do not appear. What appears is only seeing. So vipaka which appears in life, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. Even there are other vipaka, but it does not appear. What appears only, remember, the nimitta of these 10 citta, kusala vipaka or akusala vipaka.
Maybe not so smart question, but they do appear, but I'm not aware of it.
What appears?
Those vipakas after seeing, they do appear because otherwise...
That's why we talk about it. Because it's there and no understanding of it, but it's there to be known. That's why, how can Panya understand reality in life at moment of seeing? It's there to be known as no one, no thing, no self at all. So no matter how many vipakas are there in life, but what appears in daily life are only the 10 vipaka. The citta, which is not the 10, it's not vipaka. And this is the beginning to think more about other things. When there is confidence of vipaka in life. Mm-hmm. So no matter what question is about, when there are the understandings of the realities which are vipaka, the other moment is not vipaka. So thinking, depending on each different accumulation to think about this or that, this way or other way. But the vipaka, it cannot be like thinking. Only by previous karma, no matter in what life, it's time to condition seeing of that particular object. By paccaya, karma paccaya. So we begin to understand the difference. Karma is not vipaka, and vipaka is the result of karma. But it can experience the object. So it is vipaka. The rupa, which is conditioned by karma, does not experience the object, so the rupa cannot be vipaka. But it is the result of that karma, which conditioned vipaka, citta, and also rupa. At moment of birth, kusala vipaka perform that function, or akusala vipaka perform that function with such rupa, and which will continue to be animal or human being or deva, or not deva, because deva is just spontaneous rebirth. But it's the result of karma. That's why moments of kusala and akusala as karma, and moments of vipaka and moments of kriya citta, not kusala, no akusala. No one there at all.
Just asking, because it's probably not really smart again, but how come that the results of karma, really unwholesome, rooted karma, how they, you just put it really lovely, how they have their results in, I don't know how you exactly said it, in the present, while there is no unwholesome vipaka with roots.
Unwholesome vipaka with roots.
No.
The akusala karma with roots, a very severe, bad akusala karma with roots, with rooted in a lobha and ignorance, for example, the results, the akusala vipaka, is always rootless. So however terrible the result, for example, however extreme the bodily pain, it's always rootless, the akusala vipaka. It seems that if that akusala karma is so bad, then there should be some results with bad roots.
That's why we have to learn more about roots. Akusala roots can be just akusala. And kusala roots we use just when it is kusala. But it can be vipaka and kriya. Can there be kriya with roots? If we don't listen more. Yeah. Yeah. That's why we talk just one word at a time, to have more understanding about vipaka in daily life and akusala vipaka without root, because when there is a cause, it has to produce result, no matter with root or without root, depending on its characteristic. When it is akusala cause, it cannot be changed to be vipaka or kusala, right? It has to be akusala whenever it arises. That's why it does not arise with vipaka, because it's the cause of akusala which has to produce result anywhere. The cause has to produce result anywhere. But when it is akusala vipaka, it can condition the result only how many? Akusala vipaka, not just five, two more, three, only that. But it cannot appear in daily life. What appears in daily life is only the akusala vipaka five to five doorways. But for kusala, it's different. Since it's so very difficult for kusala to arise, not as easy as akusala. That's why it can arise with the vipaka, because it can be a lobha, a dosa, and so on. Wholesome reality, wholesome roots. So the birth consciousness depends on conditions, whether it is the result of akusala. Akusala root cannot be vipaka. But kusala root can be vipaka or kriya or kusala, but never be akusala. No one knows, only the enlightenment of the Buddha. And we can study and we can understand the reason, the conditions for each reality to be different. Even in hell, there cannot be more than seven akusala vipaka. 5 to the 5 Dawes, and 2 more, Sampatichana and Santirana.
The extremely bad akusala karma that you refer to, it can bring many, many moments of result, not just one moment of seeing an undesirable object, but many moments of the birth, the bhavanga-cittas, the seeing, the hearing, the painful bodily feeling. So there can be many, many moments of painful bodily feeling, very extreme painful bodily feeling, like in a hell realm, which is a result of our akusala karma, even though that those vipaka-cittas are rootless.
Not at all. Not the gunman. Not anyone.
Control dream? Any way to stop the painful bodily feeling from arising when it's time? If there was a way to stop it, we would stop it. So no one there to stop it or control it or do anything. And on the question of how does karma travel, this is the nature of the karma paccya, to bring its result at another time when the conditions are there for it to bring its result. For example, the birth in the hell realm is a condition for a lot of painful bodily feeling to arise in that realm. So many different conditions to bring about the pleasant bodily feeling or the painful bodily feeling at this moment. So that's why we learn about different conditions, to understand no one involved, no control, just the way it has to be right now by different conditions.
Just a very quick comment about when Ajahn talked about seeing, hearing, and smelling and touching. That's included jetasika too, when we talk about vipaka. That include the jetasika. Exclude the rupa. Rupa does not experience, so rupa cannot be the result of karma. But Ajahn said touching, that including the feeling hungry, that feeling is also vipaka.
Can anyone harm or hurt you? Not at all. Only kusala, akusala, vipaka, and kriya in life by conditions.
During the COVID time, we had to blame the government to make
the wrong decision to put the people all together in the same place and they infected together and caused many deaths. So I think it's totally wrong when you consider that.
It's only the idea of people. In truth, just one moment of reality. Without any reality, nothing is there. Are you living alone? In truth. In truth, no matter where. No one at moment of seeing, at moment of hearing, moment of thinking, moment of liking, disliking, only one moment. Is it subtle? That is the great wisdom of the Buddha, which is able to understand everything absolutely. Otherwise, we underestimate his great wisdom, taking it so very simple and easy, like Dhamma, see?
Did you want to ask any more about Avyākata? Just at the end of the morning, you were asking about it.
Yes, it's like talking about vipaka citta, there are Avyākata Dhamma, but there are not Avyākata Sīla. So I thought I wasn't sure about that, and thank you, Sarah, for clarifying that. So seeing is not seeing is not abhyakata sila, it's just abhyakata dhamma. Yeah, got it. Thank you. I also wanted to ask Ajahn, she mentioned many moments of seeing, and she mentioned many layers of seeing. I think the meaning is the same. Many moments of seeing are, it's like saying many moments of seeing, it's like saying many layers of seeing. Is that right, Ajahn? Many layers of seeing and many moments of seeing, like nimitta. So, it's just both a way are a way of explaining the nimitta, because I think the connection was the explanation of nimitta, and also many layers of paññatti, many layers of ignorance. Could that also refer to many different moments of the reality arising by conditions, by accumulations? Many like nimitta is different. It's many moments of seeing is nimitta, and many layers of seeing is also nimitta. Ajahn?
What appears now? What appears now?
Now, what appears now is like all concepts and ideas and
layers and, of ignorance of reality. And layers of things, right? Many things, not one, not only one thing. So at moment of everything gone, see, many layers too. Because like, not just only one, everything. In split second. Layers.
Right. Like accumulations the reality.
And this moment is layers of sanya.
Okay.
See? About what is heard. See?
Yeah.
Not layers of seeing, but layers of memory of, about the seeing and the shape, the form, the color, the details, the ideas, the things. On account of the seeing, even though there are many, many moments of seeing, because they are just vipaka cittas. So I think the layers refers to the thinking about the nimitta, the shape, the form, the color, everything. Building up the story more and more and more. Actually, what's seen is just visible object. But the thinking about the color, the shape, the check-in on your shirt, the person, the being, the thing, long, long story, actually only seeing now that sees.
Do many layers appear as many layers?
No, they appear just one.
So when they're gone, exactly the same, all of them. Seems at once. But they're gone together. But not the whole, everything. But it appears, what appears is in a moment, they're all gone. Layers and layers of the arising and falling away. Can you change?
I can try.
Can anyone change the way it is to appear as nimitta?
No, only.
But by no understanding the processes, one process at a time, it can be known how many processes now to appear as so many things around. As people and as things, see, different. How many layers? At once, as soon as one opens one's eyes, see, all at once, appearing, so all at once, disappear. Layers. Can you change it not to be layers when they arise so very quickly, rolling on?
And one, it can also be like one layer in the sense of being the layer of one reality, which is can be known as just one nimitta, like many layers of the same reality, like seeing many layers of seeing appearing as the characteristic of seeing of citta or one kind of citta.
Yeah. How many does in a process? Only one process. And how many processes are there now? Can you change the way it is?
No.
By understanding what is nimitta of a reality and nimitta of things, many things, each has nimitta one by one, appearing at a time. But now it appears as they are together, not only one. Nimitta. To be aware of a reality, what does it mean? As it is, as now, it cannot be changed. Even right now, there's no understanding of only nimitta of a reality, right?
No, right.
So, when Panya develops enough, it can experience what?
The nimitta.
Yes, as it what is, just like now. But right understanding is strong enough to understand, while usually there are ignorance about the truth. And that is the development of Panya, Bhavana. Without the intellectual understanding firm enough, it's impossible to condition moment of directly aware with understanding of that which is now not known as it is. The difference is the understanding or ignorance about what is there. And right understanding develops little by little to understand the truth of that which experiences and that which cannot experience, which we take for a cup or table. Actually, in truth, there's no cup, there's no table. Without reality, without nimitta, layers of ignorance. Do we have to count? Just understand the truth of it, which experiences an object now as seeing or hearing or thinking. No one. And what is wrong understanding and what is right understanding? Much different. What is seen, you cannot change. The nimitta of Pulsara But there can be the understanding of the truth of what is that. You use the word in a moment, but actually layers of moments. That's why there can be the understanding of nimitta, of reality, and nimitta of shape and form, taken for something. Human being, or cat or dog, or sky, or water, mountain. So what is seen, see? And Panya can understand that a little more, a little better. Until it's the understanding, a characteristic of very usual, natural moment as now. By conditions, without understanding, it's impossible. Because it's not just experience, but it is another reality which understands that as it is, not as anyone, not as my finger, no, or anything. Little by little, great patience, parami, kanti parami, with virya parami. Otherwise, we just talk about parami without understanding it. It is this moment of understanding little by little. And there's doubt about many things. What is doubt? See, not me or anyone. It's there. Now there is doubt about the arising and falling away of seeing or whatever appears now.
One more question of yours noted, and that was the one about ditti and dosa, if you would like to bring it up while you have a chance.
I am, for a while, finding the really understanding, like say it like that, the difference between moha and ditti. And I looked it up in different books, but the definitions are crossing each other sometimes. Crossing is not English, but I hope you understand. And it started actually my research when I came across, I don't know, time ago, to the greed, which eight forms and four comes with ditti and four without ditti. But then I never really could get why aversion is not coming with ditti. And I asked a lot of people, and people say, yeah, it's different moments. So the moment with greed is with just before the moment that aversion arises. Can be, might be. But still, and it is so fast. But what is, maybe to clarify more for myself, what is the difference between moha, which is a root, and ditti is the wrong view? Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Do you have doubts about the other reality, or just only this?
What do you mean with the other reality?
Yes, with not doubt.
I doubt a lot.
So is there other reality besides?
Many.
Doubt? See, always doubt. Because no understanding of the truth. That's why when there is the understanding of the truth, doubt becomes less and less. See? So now, doubt about why dosa does not arise with ditti. If there is dosa. Would you like to get close to that? Titi? Titi is wrong understanding. You like it to have such wrong understanding. If you don't like such wrong understanding, you don't get close to it. You go away.
You like it because you think it's right understanding. That's the characteristic of wrong understanding. It thinks it understands. So it's inherently something desirable. So there's attachment.
Yeah.
That's why it's rooted in lobha.
Yeah. And that's what I said, like it is the ditti has aversion and ditti are the opposite. You cannot combine. Yeah.
Like you said, when there's dosa, it is
pushed away. Whereas when it's ditti with lobha, it's sticking to the object, clinging to it.
You don't like this, but I'll try to keep it to you. Would you accept? Wrong?
No.
All right.
So actually, sometimes, like in that case, we know the answers because you explained to me, but still conditions for doubt to arise.
Yes.
So it's bound to be like that. Doubt again and again. And as Jan said, if it's not this, it's something else. So when the confidence and the understanding isn't firm, doubt again and again.
That's a hindrance.
And that's why it's good to question and ask and discuss. Otherwise, those doubts linger on and on.
Do doubt about if your effort is right when you meditate? How do you know the effort you have that is the right effort when you practice?
Has so many objects.
Okay, the focus is how do you know you are having the right effort when you talk about meditate, satipatthana, the mindfulness? When you practice, right, you meditate, right? How do you know that's right effort?
I have doubt with all my objects. So of course I have doubts about that too.
But really you have doubt for meditation, but you still practice, right? I mean, when you practice, you think that's right effort, right? Otherwise you would not practice.
Right.
I mean, yeah, but based on what you think about your practice, how are you sure that's right effort?
I'm, strong. How do you say that? Characteristic is doubt. So I'm doubting about everything, about practice, about everything. But it's grasping for any object, my doubt.
But what you like?
Even if I like it, I don't. Not in the same moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Next moment, yeah.
When you push it away, when there's aversion.
Yeah. What is on the question?
Any doubt at those moments?
Not the same moment, but
with ignorance, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just when there's not knowing, yeah. And Dream, any question you'd like to bring up, any topic today, because you've been listening patiently all day?
I would like to know the concept of time, if it's real, or what is the real concept of time and what's the real truth behind it.
So what is the nature of time? If nothing arises at all, can there be time? Past, present, vision. That's why it's moment of realities arising and falling away. To have the idea of time, previous, past, present and future. So is there any reality of time? So time is the moment when we think about the past or the future or the present. No matter how long.
So the concept based on the fact that the realities arise and fall away, like even the realities that rose and fell away when we were a baby or a child, or will arise and fall away tomorrow. So we call it 5 years, 10 years, 100 years. Actually, it's concept, but based on the fact that realities arise and fall away.
What about time in accumulation of each citta, or I've been born for so many lifetimes and all that?
It's the same, because we think about I was born for so many lifetimes, but actually there were just aeons and aeons of citta's arising and falling away, lifetime after lifetime, that we call so much time, but actually just different realities arising and falling away, which gives rise to the idea of time, a lifetime, 10 lifetimes. So as we discussed yesterday, the conventional death is just a conventional death. It's not the absolute reality. But if there wasn't the arising of the death consciousness followed by the birth consciousness, there wouldn't be that conventional idea of death and the lifespan and the time. So is there any time now? Why can we say the session finishes at a 4 o'clock, for example? What is that based on? So we're talking about concepts and ideas about time. But if there were no realities, could we say that?
Could you say that time may exist because of our ignorance and our wrong understanding? If there's no us, then there's no time.
Could an enlightened one still know that the session is going to finish at 4 o'clock and last 2 hours? So it doesn't mean that because there's understanding, there's no more concept of time or no idea of who Jonathan or Vincent is. So we still think of concepts and talk about time and know what time we're meeting here, but without any illusion that there is someone or something there in reality.
And just because time is purely a concept, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with thinking about or in terms of time. I think you said, does time exist? Can we say time exists? Well, not really, not existing. We're clear that it's a concept. If we thought time existed, then that would be a wrong idea. If we thought it had some kind of independent existence, that would be a mistake in thinking. But as long as we appreciate it's just conceptual and there's no intrinsic thing that can be identified as time, then okay, doesn't matter.
Azita and Tadal, do either of you have anything you would like to bring up? Because you've also been listening patiently.
I do. I want to know about Gamapata. We have Agusala Gamapata and Kusala Gamapata. And it seems to me that Agusala Gamapata, or the Gamma involved in that, it seems to me as if it takes more energy to perform Agusala than the opposite, the Gusala. For example, let's say killing. It seems to me that it would take a lot of effort to kill, but Gusala Gamapata is avoidance of killing. So it doesn't take as much effort. Would that be correct in assuming that?
It takes much effort not to kill.
Well,
even mosquito.
Yes, you're right, Achan, because I was thinking of a big cockroach running around here, and I was I tapped the bench to try and make it run away. So it is, I think once you realize that killing is really agusala and has bad results, it does take an effort to not, I think I understand what you're saying. And the same, I guess, with all the other, for example, lying or telling the truth or not saying anything rather than lying, just abstaining from telling an untruth. Well, you've answered my question that it probably takes as much effort to not perform agusala than the effort to do those bad actions.
And I think particularly with speech, a lot of effort not to speak sarcastically or hurtfully or angrily or that sort of thing, wouldn't you say?
Yes, John, I agree, because sometimes when my mouth opens, out comes rubbish. And today I had to have some dental work done. So I said to the dentist, this is good. If you're stopping me from speaking, that's good, because then I don't speak rubbish. That's an added difficulty. I mean, if I had my mouth was okay, I'd probably continue to speak the way. No, I don't, actually. When I think about it, I do control my speech much more than I did before. And that does take effort. Yes. Okay. So it takes effort to perform bad deeds, and it also takes effort to perform good deeds. Thank you.
Hi, Sarah. I have a simple question about Abhidhamma. In Kama Vachara Boom, there are 52 cittas, yeah? Among these 52 cittas, 24 are sovana cittas. Of these 24 sovana cittas, 8 are mahakusala citta, 8 are mahavipaka citta, and 8 are Mahakiriya cittas. I'd like to know what these sovana cittas are. It's my question.
So this relates actually to Carmen's point. So the sovana cittas are referring to those cittas which arise with wholesome roots. Seeing or hearing, which we were talking about, it's a result of kusala karma, it's kusala vipaka, but no wholesome roots. So the 24 sovana cittas you mentioned, the 8 kusala cittas all arise with wholesome roots. They must have alobha and adosa, and sometimes if panya arises, panya as well.
They are called mahakusala cittas,
yeah? Yes, well, they're called mahakusala cittas is because they are sovana cittas, but they're not jhana cittas or lokottara cittas. They are the 8 kusala cittas, like in our daily life, that can arise. And there are 8 maha vipaka cittas that also can arise with wholesome roots. And 8 mahakiriya cittas, so these are the cittas of the arahat, arise with sogana chetasikas also.
Just that, maha vipaka cittas, yeah? They are ahetka, aren't they?
What about the Awanga cittas, for example? Can they arise with wholesome roots?
But they are not ahetka. They are ahetka. Because
they are ahetka. Ahetka means with no roots at all.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Seeing is ahetka citta, no matter it's kusala or akusala vipaka. Ahetka citta, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. But if we're talking about, for example, the Bhavanga cittas, if they are akusala vipaka, and this was Carmen's point, no unwholesome roots, because the results of akusala karma always are those vipaka cittas that are rootless. But the results of kusala karma can either be vipaka with or without roots. And when those cittas are with roots, they are sovana vipaka cittas, like in this lifetime, the Bhavanga cittas are the results of kusala karma. And in this lifetime, they must be with either two or three roots or no roots if one is born very, very handicapped as a result of very weak kusala karma in the past. So we can say the Bhavanga cittas now in between seeing and hearing are sobhana vipaka cittas with two or three roots, aloba, adosa, and panya if there are three roots.
So I think that these mahavipaka cittas are sahetuka?
Sahetuka. Mm-hmm. If they are sobhana cittas, they are sahetuka.
So they refer to not only those of arahat, but those of putujana?
If we're talking about the vipaka cittas of the arahat, then they are sahetuka, they are sobhana vipaka cittas, just like now. If we're talking about the cittas in the jhavana process, they are sobhana kiriya cittas when we're talking about the arahat. So that's why there are eight maha kusala, eight maha vipaka, and eight maha kiriya cittas.
Okay,
sobhana cittas.
Okay, just a sec. Eight maha kusala cittas. They are cittas of putujana, aren't they?
The maha kiriya cittas are referring to the cittas of the arahat, which instead of kusala cittas, there are maha kiriya cittas, because no more kusala anymore, no more karma anymore. The kiriya cittas, which are strong or weak and so on, with or without panya, with pleasant feeling or neutral feeling.
Okay, then maha kusala cittas, they are cittas of putujana?
Yes, or of Aryans that are not arahats.
Oh, I still cannot understand what maha vipaka cittas are. They are vipaka cittas. Then why do they, and do you call them maha vipaka citta?
Well, it's just distinguishing between those vipaka cittas which are with roots and those which are rootless, like seeing and hearing and so on, which are the results of kusala karma, but they are rootless, no wholesome roots. When they are sahetuka, out of kusala karma, such as the Bhavanga cittas while sleeping, or even now in between the processes with wholesome roots, then they are referred to as maha vipaka cittas.
So among these 24 sobhana cittas, maha kiriya cittas are definitely those of arahat. Can we say
that? Doubt?
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else you'd like to add, Ajahn? No. Okay. All good. 5 minutes if anyone else has a quick question or anything they'd like to add.
I'd like to.
Hi, Chanti.
Hi. What struck me is that Khunsu Jin said lovely, Panya is the only reality that understands. And I was thinking, what does this mean? It means that how many nama realities is 52 chetasikas and citta in many different functions or variegated. And it means that, it means a lot. It means that Sanya doesn't understand. It means that Sati doesn't understand. Awareness doesn't understand. It means that even seeing doesn't understand, hearing doesn't understand, feeling, vedana doesn't understand, touching doesn't understand. So many moments without understanding of realities. And it's more obvious when we're talking about akusala chittasikas, but it's not so obvious when we're talking about cittas without panya that have sobhana
the whole group, Sada, Sati, Metta, Dana, Pasadi. I thought it was important to bring back. And I have a question that relates to it. Maybe can Ajahn for everyone. Thinking could be without panya arising by conditions, if I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong. The citta, I mean. And how would you describe the right way of considering? I know that concepts do not have a characteristic. Realities have a characteristic. But just to help, what is right considering for us and what is wrong considering? Thank you.
If we do not use the word panya, understanding, the truth is different from no understanding at all about what is there now, right? So no matter we call it panya or other word, it's the reality which arises to understand that as it is. And when there's no hearing about the truth at all, there is ignorance, not understanding what is there now at all. As seeing arises by conditions, but no understanding of conditions for seeing to arise. So seeing arises just to see, and right understanding of what seeing is not the ignorance as before. That's why what we call it, panya, is a reality which arises to understand that from hearing, considering. Otherwise, there's no conditions for panya to arise, to understand. So when we talk about reality, it's so common in daily life. Seeing is a reality. Attachment is a reality. Ignorance is a reality. Right understanding is a reality different from other reality. Even we don't use any word, it understands what is there as it is. But it has to be understanding. Not just remember the word understanding, but it understands that which is now appearing. Even it's so very subtle, but it's so real because it's now at this very moment. Nobody can change its way to see, to be other different things. And seeing is conditioned to arise. No one can make it arise at all. To have more confidence of the truth, that is the understanding, the truth, that actually what we take for I see, I hear, I think, without seeing, arising and see, can there be the idea I see? So in truth, seeing is a reality, arises by conditions, just to see, and then following instantly. And panya does not see as seeing. It does not hear, it does not like or dislike, but it's the moment of beginning to consider the truth and understand the truth of that as not anyone at all. Beginning to have firm confidence of the truth. It's there by conditions and gone. So how can it be I or anyone? In life, what are there are only different realities. The reality which arises to experience the object, and the reality which arises but cannot experience anything. But there are conditions for its arising. Without the four Mahabhutrupa, Mahapatvi, Techuan, that you know about that, there cannot be the other rupa, derived from the mixture of the Mahabhuta Rupa to be different sound, different sight, different smell, different taste, different touch, whether it's too hot or too warm, see, by conditions. And when there is the understanding of it cannot be taken for self, right or wrong, because it's not there anymore, just very shortly, only when it arises and it's gone. Conditions for its arising, as soon as it has arisen, it's gone. It's gone instantly. And this is reality, a reality, different ones. Citta cannot be cetasika. And cetasika, each one has its own characteristic to be known as it is, not as the other at all, like attachment and aversion, different ones. How can it be anyone? Because it's conditioned to arise and then fall away, no matter what. So very quickly, unknown all the time, even right now. That's why after his enlightenment, Buddha said all dhammas are so very subtle. And if we forget this, we do not know who's the Buddha, the enlightened one. How great wisdom is there to understand the truth of this very moment or any moment. It's so short, very short.
Any last word of advice for Carmen before she goes?
It's the confidence of the truth. The truth is the truth. And what is the truth?
What is the truth?
What is true? Do we have to find somewhere?
Oh, you mean it's here, in every moment, we can experience it. If it's conditioned, we will.
What is there can be understood?
The dhammas, the condition.
For example, seeing. No understanding of the nature of seeing, but no doubt about the word seeing, but doubt about the characteristic which sees, because it does not appear as the object of understanding yet.
So there's hope.
Yeah. They can.
Yeah, thank you. Bye bye.